Welcome to The Watchman's Cry, where my dad talks about the end time. So grab your Bible and a pen and paper, and get ready for a good Bible study.
Greetings, brethren. Welcome, welcome, welcome. You're listening to The Watchman's Cry. My name is Nathan Leal, and I'm up here on the wall bringing you the news, the reports, the happenings, and the information of what is coming upon the land. And coming to you from a place in the hinterlands of Babylon, I bid you hello, and I welcome you to another session where we will examine the diagnosis. My friends, today there is a diagnosis over the land of America. There is a report for the land of America. And this report, while true, is not very popular. This report wants to be denied by the people. It wants to be candy-coated by the politicians. And it wants to be twisted by the media. It wants to be ignored by the people in the church. But unfortunately, blinders do not betray the reality of truth, and neither does darkness. Ladies and gentlemen, the truth is the truth. America is under judgment, and America is also in a depression right now. And covering your ears and humming does not make it go away. And today in this late hour, the wise ones are beginning to see that the storm clouds are gathering in the distance. The wise ones are hearing the still small voice of God that is whispering, and it is saying, get ready, get prepared. And my friends, my prayer is that you are one of those wise ones that can hear God's voice of warning. And my prayer is that you would be able to hear the wooing of the voice of the Spirit and hear what He's saying to His people. For today, folks, God is stirring the waters. And God is seeking to awaken His remnant and prepare them with wisdom and with strength. We're all going to be needing His strength in the coming days. And here's the reason why. Because a great woe is going to be coming upon the land. And it's going to shatter the proud. And it's going to shake the enemies of God to their very core. Ladies and gentlemen, the voice of God is going to thunder across the land. And it's going to shatter the cedar trees of those that are arrogant. And that's the message of this ministry. Get prepared. And on these programs, we talk about it. We explain it. And we discuss how to be ready for it. That's my calling, folks. And the message of Watchman's Cry is different. We talk about the truth. We talk about the things that matter. You know what, folks? We need to. Because this thing is real. And so is God. He's real. His mercy is real and answered. Prayer is also real. His peace is real, and it can be found by you even in the midst of your storm. And if you appreciate our mission here at Watchman's Cry, we appreciate your help and your support. Our address is Watchman's Cry, P.O. Box 157, Priest River, Idaho, 83856. Or you can go to our website and contact us there. Ladies and gentlemen, today is going to be a very special program and a different kind of program because we're going to address something that is uncomfortable for some and denied by others, but it's also time for it to occur. So I want to invite you to get your Bibles, get a pen and paper, and please take notes. Now, to get started, I want to give a background of what's going on right now in today's church in America and in other places of the West. Now, over the past few decades, we were witnesses that the church back then celebrated days of prestige. The church was respected. The church was the place where people sought to go to find spiritual strength, to find hope, to find peace, to find salvation and an encounter with God. But now, we're in a different era, folks. Things have changed. And if you're a regular listener to this program, you know what I'm talking about. You've witnessed it. You've seen how the church of today is not the church that you grew up with decades ago. It's not the same place. The church has a different theme now. The church has a different identity. The church has different goals. And today in America, we have seen that the church now has a different agenda. And in the midst of that new agenda, those that are hungry for the way the church used to be, and those that are hungry for the sincere church and the real church of Jesus, have seen that the church has now been replaced with a new era of confusion, of deception, and of great ailments. And in the book of Revelation, we can read, in Revelation chapter 3, verse 14, we are told about the church of Laodicea, her ailments, how she has become lukewarm, how she's neither hot or cold, and how God is not very pleased with her. Ladies and gentlemen, I submit to you that today's Western church is the lukewarm church of Laodicea. Today's church has become feeble and blind, and it's very evident. All we have to do is look around. All we have to do is turn on the TV and see for ourselves. So what happened? What caused it? If we are living in this time period where the church of Laodicea is blind and naked and feeble, how are God's people supposed to find truth? How do we find nurturing in the midst of this spiritual diagnosis? You know how, folks? It's with an examination by the light of God, the light of His truth, which is the willingness to examine what's going on, and the willingness to be honest with ourselves, and the willingness to identify the ailments, and to not be afraid to address them. When we read in the book of Matthew chapter 24, and we read the words of Jesus, who tells us about some of the spiritual landscape that we would see in the last days, He talked about a certain ailment that would be occurring to the people in the last days. What I'm talking about can be found in the book of Matthew chapter 24. And if you have your Bibles, folks, please turn there. Matthew 24, verse 12. I'm going to go ahead and read it. In verse 12 it says, "And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will wax cold." Or in other words, it will grow cold. And folks, this whole context is about His people. Because the next verse says, "He who endures to the end shall be saved." So He's talking about Christians. But getting back to the love of many growing cold, what does that mean and how could it happen? Well, what it means is that love that should be found in the hearts of everyone who calls themselves a Christian, that love that identifies a person as being a child of God, would be losing its fervency. Love would start to fade in the hearts and lives of Christians. Now, this topic in itself could be a lot of messages. It could be a lot of programs. It could be a lot of sermons. And I do plan to talk about it more in the future. But today, I just want to mention it because this is going to be one of the foundational points. I'm bringing it up, folks, because when we hold in one hand that in the end times, the church would become lukewarm, like the Laodicean church in Revelation 3, and then we can read in Matthew 24 that the love of many would grow cold. If both of those things are happening simultaneously, this is a spiritual condition, an ailment that is related. Here's a question, folks. If a person who calls him or herself Christian loses their love, what happens inside of their heart? Does this affect the way that they act? Will this affect the way that they conduct themselves? Will this affect the way that they live their life and interact with others? Will it, folks? And without love in a Christian's life, what's going to replace that empty area of their heart? I submit to you that the vacuum's going to be replaced with something else. And that something else would be the opposite of love. And folks, what's the opposite of love? What happens without love? Without love, we're going to see betrayal and selfishness and hatred in a person's heart. We're going to arrive at a chapter in time where the souls of men grow dark and uncaring for those around them. Now, folks, please think about this. Jesus was telling us the spiritual temperature of the last days. He said the love of many would grow cold. Now, what type of church would we have if many people in the church have no love one for another? What type of behavior are we going to see? Now, folks, think about this. If we're in the last days right now, and if Jesus told us some of the things we're going to be witnessing, that means that the love of many will be growing cold right now in our time. That means that there's going to be people around you, in your town, in your city, in your church, in your fellowship, whose love is growing cold. That means that we have to also ask the question, could my love grow cold? And if it did, what type of person would I be? Folks, this topic that we're going to talk about today is going to be very serious. And it's not for cowards. It's not for those that want to pretend. We have to face these things because Jesus says in the next verse, verse 13, but, which means however, he that endures to the end shall be saved. So that means we have a choice. We're either going to endure to the end with the love of God, or our love is going to grow cold. And my friend, I don't want to see you as one of those whose love has grown cold. But at the same time, we need to be vigilant and identify that this is going to be an ailment in the last days. So that's what we're going to talk about today, folks. Because here's where it gets very uncomfortable and disturbing. Those that are going to be losing their love, and those that used to have love, but then it grows cold, they're going to be doing certain things. They're going to be acting in a certain manner. They're going to be conducting themselves in a certain way. And what way is that? Well, without love, we're going to have people who choose. Now, please hear me right here, folks. We're going to witness and see that there will be people who choose to hurl stones at others, to be uncaring for those around them, to be selfish toward those around them. And get this, folks, without love, we are going to see the other words of Jesus become fulfilled. Now, if you have Matthew 24, look at verse 10. Look what it says. Matthew 24:10. And then many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another. What do we have when the hearts of men lose their love and their love grows cold? We have what it says right here. People are going to betray and hate one another. Betrayal, folks. That means that the commandment to love thy neighbor evolves into dog eat dog. It means that the new spiritual temperature becomes, it's my life and I don't want to hear your opinion. And folks, get this. Eventually, those without love will be picking up the phone and calling Big Sister at Homeland Security, and they're going to let her know that you, my friend, you're an annoying Christian, and they're going to turn you in. And that new program from Homeland Security, which says, if you see something, say something, is going to have the happy participation of your betraying friend or acquaintance. Who are the ones that are going to be betraying one another? Is it that horrible pagan Wicca member that lives next door to you? Is it that gang member down the street? Is it the druggie that lives catty corner to your house? Who's going to be turning you in, folks? According to this, it's going to be those who should have been faithful one to another. It's going to be those that numbered themselves among the brethren. You know, folks, 30 years ago, I had a hard time believing that Christians would turn each other in. I did. I remember reading this passage and thinking, I don't see how. Because in our church, everyone loves each other. And that's how it was back in the early 80s. But now, I see the beginnings of this ailment of betrayal that's coming. I see the witness of it right now, folks. And I see that it's here. It's very sneaky. It's very deceptive, and it camouflages itself under benevolent nobility. It recruits the unsuspecting ones. It's because it is a scheme from hell itself, a scheme from the enemy. And we all know that Satan is the father of lies. We all know that he is the thief that wants to kill, steal, and destroy from your life. He wants to maim you. He wants to destroy your family. Satan's out there, folks. So here's the question. Could this happen to you? In other words, could the tendency to betray others actually hijack your virtue? And could it recruit your involvement? Nathan, of course not. That's horrible. How could you ask such a thing? I know, folks, it's a hard question. That's why I said this program's not for cowards. So today, we're going to talk about this ailment. In our daily walk with Christ as Christians, when you attend church and you listen to sermons and you interact with other believers, in the mental list of sins that most Christians have, there are some sins that are worse than others. For example, most Christians would quickly agree that adultery, fornication, and robbing banks are bad things. But get this, folks. When Christians think of one of the worst characters in Scripture, who comes to mind? When you're thinking of the individuals in the Bible that did some very bad things, some horrible things, who are the people that come to mind quickly? And who's usually at the top of the list? Now, if you can't think of an answer, let me give you a hint. Of course, there are several choices, but if we were to isolate this question to those bad individuals mentioned in the Gospels of Jesus, then who comes to mind? Here's another hint. The crucifixion of Jesus. Now who is the bad guy? Well, of course, it's that guy that we find ourselves mystified with disbelief. And, you know, folks, it's hard to understand why Judas Iscariot betrayed Jesus. But that's the guy, Judas. Why did he do it? Aside from the why, folks, think about this. What was his sin? Was it adultery? Was it horse thievery? Did he rob little old ladies? You know those sins that most Christians have at the top of their list? He's an adulterer. He's a fornicator. He's a homosexual. He's a drunkard. What was Judas's sin? It was betrayal. Judas betrayed Jesus. Judas committed that great sin of the age that will go down as the worst fail in biblical history. Betrayal. Now, let's move forward again to Matthew 24, where we were just reading. When Jesus says the love of many will grow cold, and then he also says that many will betray one another. Now, folks, think about this. That means that people who used to attend church or do attend church or who will still attend church, who call themselves Christians, who consider themselves numbered among the children of God, are going to be betraying their fellow brethren. Now, here's the big question, folks. Why would they do it? And who are the ones that are going to do it? Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's what today's program is about. And may I submit to you that the beginnings of the reason of why and how it could happen is an ailment that is incubating in today's church. This ailment is fermenting in today's church as I speak. And I'm going to identify it. I'm going to shine the light on it. And my prayer and my hope, ladies and gentlemen, is that you would take these matters to prayer. And the ailments that I mentioned, I would hope that they become so vile. And I would hope that any participation in your future would become so undesirous that you would become a vigilant soul that would not be one of those who are the betrayers. Now, to help me talk about this topic, I'm going to bring on my friend. His name is Benjamin Baruch. Benjamin is the author of the book, The Day of the Lord is at Hand. And over 10 years ago, the Holy Spirit showed Benjamin a vision of the future of America. The Holy Spirit showed Benjamin a glimpse of the concentration camps and the FEMA camps. And he wrote about it in his book. And today he's going to come on board with me, and we're going to talk about this ailment. So, Benjamin, welcome to the program, and let me just start out with the question. Benjamin, what is this ailment that I'm talking about?
Well, there are many dimensions to the challenges that we face, but I'd like to take a step back and look at the bigger picture for a moment. The Bible tells us that in the last days, perilous times would come. And perilous times means times of grave danger and threat, to the point of the threat of the loss of your life. Millions perishing physically and spiritually. And that peril is in the world around us, Nathan. And that peril also is within the church. I want to take a moment and look at one of the warnings that came from the Lord about this perilous time. And it was given to David Wilkerson in a series of visions in 1973. And I just want to touch on a couple of the highlights. He was shown the judgments that would come, and to our listeners, get yourself a copy of the book, The Vision. It's worth reading. At the time, he was derided and mocked. People said it was impossible. They said it was ridiculous. And there was a great amount of backlash against David. But here's a couple of the main points from his vision that I think are coming to pass right before our eyes now, some 39 years later. He talked about a major crash, a financial crash, a time of economic confusion striking Europe first and then Japan and the United States. And that the trigger for this crash would be in Europe, but that America and the American banks would be blamed by the nations all over the world. And I remember at the time people said, how could America be blamed for a crash in Europe? No one could imagine that the American banks would sell worthless mortgages all over the world, producing a bankruptcy in numerous parts of the earth, including huge financial bankruptcies that are coming in Europe. David also saw the drastic weather changes. He saw the deception that would come within the church, the various deceptions that the enemy would bring, the false prosperity gospel, all of this new extra-biblical revelation that would come. And he also saw an attack of Satan within the church that I really want to get into tonight because it's the peril that is within the church. There are many perils in the world today, but there is also a peril within the church that I think we've been blind and oblivious to. David warned us that a gossip war would come, that Satan would declare war on every true ministry of Jesus Christ in an attempt to discredit and shipwreck every man of God. Satan would raise up gossip mongers to harass, to malign, and to lie about the true servants of Jesus Christ. Every true ministry that the Lord had raised up was going to face gossip and lies and misunderstandings. Every motive would be questioned and suspected. People in leadership positions would face malicious gossip. Lies and false statements would come forth from the very pits of hell. And it would be a supernatural demonstration of the demonic powers. Not a single ministry would be immune. Even the wives and families would come under attack. And legions of lying spirits would be turned loose upon the world with the single purpose of accusing Christians through gossip and slander. And this would be aimed not only at ministries, but all true believers of Jesus Christ.
So, Benjamin, that was 39 years ago.
39 years ago. He warned of a massive slander outpouring against the true ministry of Jesus.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, with what Benjamin just shared, that was a prophecy that David Wilkerson gave 39 years ago. And Benjamin, back then, there weren't very many voices that were speaking about what was coming.
Well, other than the Hal Lindsey, Late Great Planet Earth group, no, not much.
David Wilkerson, he had the mantle of God on him, didn't he?
He really did. And he was a spokesman for the Lord in confronting the church for its compromise, in confronting the nation for departing from its Christian heritage, and for confronting the believer to walk a walk of holiness. And he was also a voice for the Lord proclaiming the judgment that would come both on the country and on the church for its apostasy.
Now, the thing that I find very incredible, I find it interesting, there's a lot of words that I can think of, but David Wilkerson blazed the trail for an end-time voice. But since then, there's been an interesting thing that has been happening over the last few years. We're told that it's a prophecy in the book of Joel. In the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Sons and daughters shall prophesy. Young men, old men, see visions, dream dreams. Folks, many of you are on board with that prophecy. You understand what God is doing in these last days. And the reason that this prophecy was given was because God is a God of loving kindness and mercy. And before, let me use layman's terms, before doom arrives on a given people at a given time or a judgment, God always warns the people first. He says that. He says it in Amos. In the book of 2 Chronicles, we are told that before he judges, he raises up a voice to warn the people. So today, Benjamin, God has been raising up voices. I get emails from individuals all over the country, from other countries, from moms, from dads, from grandparents that say that their kids are having dreams on this judgment that is happening worldwide now. They're seeing sights that are incredible. And the way that this thing is happening, Benjamin, is it's a supernatural outpouring
of God, and he's trying to warn the people. Now, the reason I'm bringing that up is because in addition to God warning the regular folks that maybe are not called to ministry, he has also raised up voices to share this warning. And the enemy does not want these voices to be acknowledged. He doesn't want these voices to be heard. He wants to nullify the warnings that they have. So the enemy is going to come up with a lot of different measures and ways and tactics and schemes to try to nullify these voices. But Benjamin, Jesus said that this was going to happen, didn't he?
Oh, he did. And as I began to study within the scripture, what the Word of God has to say about this gossip and slander war that Satan would unleash against the true ministries of Jesus, it's amazing how much the Word of God talks about the sin of bearing false witness and bringing slander, which is really a form of murdering a man's name and reputation.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to ask that you please get your Bible for this program, get a pen, please take notes. And folks, if we are truly desirous of being part of the remnant of God, then we need to take the scriptures seriously. We have to have a healthy fear of God on the consequences of not taking these scriptures seriously. So if we read some verses and possibly you hear us mention a verse and you say to yourself, whoa, I've actually been doing that in my life. Folks, we're not doing it to condemn you. We're not doing it to throw rocks. We want to shine the light on all of our lives so that we can be without spot or wrinkle. That's the goal. So as we mention some of these scriptures, please take notes and please make them a matter of prayer, because we want to have the victory and we don't want to have any reason for the enemy to have license to restrict the blessing and protection of God in our lives. Now, Benjamin, where do you want to start? Do you want to just give the prophecies or how serious it is, or...
Well, let's start with an acknowledgement. This is an epidemic. The gossip war that Satan has unleashed, the legions of lying spirits that have come forth with a single purpose of bringing false accusation, gossip, and slander against the true ministries of the Lord in this hour. This is a flood. This is a flood on the proportion of the Noah's Ark flood. This has swept through the entire church. It has contaminated virtually every life, and it is not a small thing. It has done massive damage. In the world, there are a number of sayings, nursery rhymes, and sometimes there's some truth in them, sometimes not at all. One of the old things we remember as a kid is, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Well, that's the opinion of the world, but that is not what the scripture declares. The Lord is very adamant that bringing false witness, speaking lies to destroy the reputation of another person or to falsely accuse them of a crime or a sin they did not commit, it was serious enough. He put it in the actual Ten Commandments, thou shalt not bear false witness. But the Lord also listed among the sins that are so reprehensible to God that he describes them as an abomination. And Nathan, bringing false witness and slander is an abomination, similar to killing a baby or shedding innocent blood.
Benjamin, why don't we have the listeners get their Bibles now and let's turn to that verse.
Yeah, let's look at what the Lord had to say about this subject that is an epidemic of sin within the body of Christ.
Folks, those of you that are faithful listeners, I know that you don't want to have any of these ailments in your life, and maybe you may not know how serious some of these things that we're talking about, but may I ask you to take your Bibles now and turn to the book of Proverbs chapter 6, and I'll give you a second to turn there, because the abominations that Benjamin is talking about are mentioned in Proverbs 6, and we're going to go through them line by line. And the reason that we're doing this is if perchance you were unaware and you were taking part of this in your life, now you will have the light and the armor and the knowledge to understand how serious this thing is. Also, if you have a friend that maybe wants to convince you to partake of any of these things, folks, the body of Christ is poisoning themselves. Satan loves this, and he will use all sorts of justification. He will try to give an excuse that it's okay. But, you know, Benjamin, when I was in high school, it was kind of like this. Tell me who you hate, and then I'll hate him with you, and then we'll be friends. You remember that in high school?
That seemed to be pretty fashionable among teenage girls that love to spend all day gossiping about each other. But it's a rather immature character trait.
It is. Folks, do you have it? Proverbs chapter 6. So I'm going to read the first line, folks. It's Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16. These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. And Benjamin, let's talk about that. An abomination. He doesn't say they're just little mild things.
This is not just a sin. These are the sins that have made the most reprehensible sin list of the Lord. These are the sins that he is furious about.
Okay, so yes, seven are an abomination. So ladies and gentlemen, that's a very, very serious word. So here we go with the list. Number one, a proud look. What is that, Benjamin?
Well, if you think about it, this whole sin problem originated with pride in heaven. Lucifer, there was pride found within him, and that brought about the fall. Ultimately, he was transformed into a grotesque, an evil, mad, wild beast called Satan. And all the sons of pride are actually following him. And so a proud look, I guess it must remind the Lord of Satan.
You know, Benjamin, I was praying about this passage. I've been examining it. I've been asking God, God, if some of these things are in my life, I repent of it. And the Holy Spirit, a lot of times he'll give me these images, like a picture, and that helps me to understand. And I had this image of, you have one Christian with a proud look, and then you have a different Christian who does not have a proud look. So what does that guy look like? Well, it's a person with, what's the opposite of pride? A humble look, a contrite look. Or in other words, you have in one hand a person with a proud heart, and then in the other hand, you have a Christian that has a humble heart. The one that says, woe is me. The one that says, I am undone. And what the Holy Spirit showed me, Benjamin, was when we look at the body of Christ, Christians, when they wake up in the morning and they go through their whole day, before they go to sleep, they process their life and they process the way they look at others in a certain way. Now, what the Holy Spirit was showing me is that some Christians, when they process looking at others, they process it from the standpoint of pointing the finger at them, identifying their flaws, identifying all the things they've done bad. It's basically just throwing stones at them because they're proud. So a proud person is looking at others. On the other hand, a person that's not proud looks in the mirror. He sees the flaws. He sees that he's undone. He reads the scriptures and sees what God says about something. And he feels contrite and humbled and convicted, and he wants to clean that up. So Benjamin, those are two different types of conditions.
Well, one person is self-absorbed, and we've all been around these proud people. And then we've all met people that are kind, caring, that are as interested in the people around them. And they're wonderful to hang out with. And the Lord is, he's really seeing things the same way. He says he's close to those of a contrite heart, but the proud he knows from afar off.
Okay, so we have the proud look. The next one is a lying tongue.
Yeah, God's all about truth. And the reason is you can't have a relationship based on lies. You can vote politicians into office who lie, but you can't have a relationship, a friendship, a marriage, a family. It only works with truth. And when you throw the truth away, you throw life away. The kingdom of lies is the kingdom of death. The kingdom of truth is the kingdom of life. And the Lord knows the consequence of lies. And if you think about it, all of these sins, the reason they are so repugnant to the Lord is the fruit of these sins is death.
Now, Benjamin, let's talk about the lying tongue. Many, many people will tell lies about somebody else. And how often has it happened where a Christian has the phone ring, they answer the phone, and it's their friend calling them up to tell them a story about sister whoever, brother whoever, let me tell you what they did. And so they start sharing what supposedly the other person did. And is it always the truth, what they're saying? Who knows? But how often are people lying and making up things about one another?
Most of the time. The old adage is never believe anything you hear and only half of what you read. And today, it's probably believe less than half of what you read. I mean, think about it, folks. The scripture says the whole world lies in the evil one. So Satan's got his fingers into pretty much the whole world. And he's the father of lies. So the vast majority of what is spoken in the world the vast majority of what is written in the world, and the vast majority of what is believed by the world are all lies. And the vast majority of the accusations that have come against the true ministers of God are all lies. And there's no limit to how far the lies will go.
So, ladies and gentlemen, as we're going through this list, whenever you get the phone call from someone and they want to tell you the dirt and poison you with the dirt on a certain individual, and then you receive the dirt, and then when you hang up the phone and believe the dirt, Benjamin, what is that doing? That's poisoning.
Actually, what that's doing is sealing the fate of both parties, because we tend to forget what the Lord said. We think we're so smart because we have all this technology, but most people have stopped reading. Most people have forgotten what the scripture says, and most people are guilty of extremely poor scholarship. How important are the words that we speak? Well, let's look at what the Lord said. By the words that you speak, you shall either be justified or condemned. Let me back up. This is from Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. You generation of vipers, how can you who are evil, how can you who practice such evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure in his heart, he brings forth good things, words that produce blessings and grace and life. While the evil ones among us, and out of the evil treasure in their hearts, they bring forth evil words, words that bring death, that bring destruction, that bring despair, that bring disillusionment. Jesus goes on and says, but I say unto you, every idle word that you speak, you will give an account for in the day of judgment. For by your own words, you will either be justified, or by your words, you shall be condemned.
Based on that, there's no such thing as a white lie, is there, Benjamin?
There's no such thing as an idle word. The scripture says, if any man speaks, let him speak as an oracle of God. And that word oracle means infallible, perfect, infallibly correct.
That's very serious. So we have number one, a proud look. Number two, a lying tongue. Ladies and gentlemen, you know what lies are. And, you know, in human nature, it is so easy to justify lying. I have seen mothers lie to their children and they justify it. I've seen wives lie to their husbands and they justify it, or husbands lying to their wife, kids lying to their parents. And today we see society that is dysfunctional, but how often is the society dysfunctional because they're just full of lies? The truth is not respected. The truth is feared.
Well, we do not understand. It is apparent to me that even among the Christians and people who think they're awake in this hour, there's more that we don't understand. Let me give you one example. The parable of the man that was delivered of the devil, and then the demon came back and said, I'm going to return to my house, and I'm going to bring seven more evil spirits with me. And Jesus commented, and the latter state, in the end, the state of the man was worse than before. And before we did this show, I believe the Holy Spirit revealed to me that is also a prophecy of the last generation, that this wicked and adulterous generation, which the Bible calls the generation of his wrath, that phrase pertains to our generation. We are the generation of the wrath of God. We are also a generation who believes they are clean in their own eyes, but are not washed from our iniquity. We, in the latter case, are worse than the former. Mankind actually is sinking to the lowest level in history, and so is the church. The church is full of more sin and compromise. The Laodicean church, the last church mentioned in the book of Revelation, is a symbol of the last days church in this age, and it's pathetic. If you guys knew even a fraction of the slander and the stuff coming right out of hell that is just parroted by Christians who have no concept that they're going to give an account for these words. If you guys had any idea what was really going on out there, you wouldn't believe it.
Benjamin, let's bring this home a little bit and make it a little bit closer so that the people can see how serious it is. And I'm pretty sure they already know how serious it is, but today in our society, we are a society of high technology, of iPads, iPods, tablets, laptops, and computers. Pretty much every member of the Western world, they understand the internet. They have most likely a Facebook page or a Twitter account or they're a part of a blog or a part of a forum. And Benjamin, today on Christian forums, we see, and folks, those of you that are listening, you know what I'm talking about. How often does it happen? Members of Christian forums who say that they are Christians have come into forums and spread lies about other forum members or spread lies about other people or just share things. And pretty much most people think, well, if you typed it and hit insert or submit, you must be telling the truth. How often are people taken for their word, but at the end of the day, they're lies?
Or they're repeating a lie that they read somewhere else and just assumed, well, it may be true. You know, we really don't understand the significance of the words that we speak. The Lord told us the things that enter into our body, and this was responding to the Pharisees who were arguing over proper washing of hands, and the Lord commented that the things that come into you can't defile you. It's what comes out of the mouth that defiles the man. Those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile a man. So if you want to defile your life, all you have to do is let evil proceed out of your mouth. Well, what kind of things was the Lord talking about? Matthew 15, verse 19, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders. Okay, well, that's pretty wicked. Adultery. We all know that's wrong. Fornication, theft, bearing false witness. Oh, wait a minute. You mean simply spreading a lie is the same as murder? Yes. Bearing false witness murders a man's name. If you destroy a man's name and character, you've destroyed his life. The Lord puts them on the list. Oh, blasphemies? These are the things that defile a man. So if you're bearing false witness, you are defiling yourself. You're seeking to destroy another with your spun web of lies, or maybe you're just repeating the slander that originated in the wicked heart of another. And you're seeking to use that which you can't verify. Let every word of truth be established by two or more witnesses. You don't have any evidence that it's true. You just have an allegation in internet land. Someone came forward and made a charge, and you're just going to repeat it because you want to take that man down. And so you're going to bear that false witness as your report. You are defiling yourself.
Well, Benjamin, when people take part in these things on the internet, they probably don't think that the damage is going to be that bad. They probably don't think that it's a very wicked scheme or bad plan. In this list of the abominations, I'm going to read them real quick, and then let's move on to the slander thing, because that's what we're going to be focusing on. So after the lion tongue, we have hands that shed innocent blood.
Murdering innocent children. Yeah, that's a pretty big offense with the Lord. Killing babies? Yep, that would definitely get God mad.
So lying is right before killing babies?
Yes, lying is killing the truth. And since the Lord is the truth, I am the way, the truth, and the life, if you're going to kill the truth, you are killing everything that God loves and believes in.
It's very interesting. I believe 99.9% of all Christians, maybe even 100%, would all agree that abortion's horrible. It's terrible, and they'll lift up a banner and lift up their fist and say, I'll be a part of the resistance.
Obviously wicked.
But in the list is also lying.
Well, that's a protected sin in the apostate church.
Okay, so after innocent blood, it says a heart that devises wicked plans.
Scheming, evil imaginations, and a heart that meditates on evil and not good.
How about this one, folks? Ladies, getting on the internet and having fantasies and entertaining wicked schemes about maybe some anonymous person on the other end of the internet, or men, also likewise. Men fantasizing about the rendezvous. Ladies, likewise, having wicked schemes. You know, in this day and age of free morality or anti-morality, what is it?
It's called immorality.
Immorality. The revolution. The sexual revolution, where the kids are now indoctrinated at early ages to be a consenting teenager and then a consenting adult. So therefore, whatever you want to do, it's okay in your own eyes. Go ahead and do it. Before the offense takes place, it starts out with an idea, a scheme, a plan. Ladies and gentlemen, false imagination, the vain imaginations. Benjamin, care to comment on that? The vain imaginations that haunt how many of God's people and incubate and ferment?
And it manifests in different ways. There's the immoralities, there's the vain imaginations of hatred, and then there are the vain religious imaginations. Jesus warned his disciples, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And the leaven of the Pharisees was the hypocrisy and the false righteousness and the self-righteousness, and at the same time, the hatred that they had for anyone who was different than them. They persecuted the true servants of God and then lifted themselves up in their own eyes as the so-called righteous ones. And it was this leaven of religious hypocrisy where they thought they were the ones that were right, and yet they were opposing the very kingdom of God at the same time. And that's what's come forth in the apostate church. It's the leaven of the Pharisees.
Okay, Benjamin, the next one in verse 18, feet that are swift in running to evil. That's pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah, people that are like so motivated to do their sin that they're going to run. They're not just being tempted and fall. These people aren't falling. They're running to sin.
They can't wait for their shift at work to end.
Yeah, they don't fall into it. They run after it.
I can't wait to get my paycheck.
They're sold out. Hook, line, and sinker. They're diving into the lake of fire. They can't wait to get there. And, you know, it's my opinion that each one of these sins that is an abomination, if you are committing these sins, if you do not repent, you're on your way to hell. And folks, there are a lot of Christians, even some listening to this program tonight, who will be among the group that hear the Lord say, I never knew you. He told us, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, I did all these things for the kingdom, but I will say unto them, I never knew you. And the word many in the Greek is polis. It means the vast majority. The true little flock of the Father is a very small flock. And folks, you have to actually be born again. Led by the Holy Spirit. And if you're being led by the Holy Spirit and you're walking with the Lord, He's going to convict you of your sin. God won't let you stay in these abominations. He won't let you stay in these sin areas. He will convict you and He will lead you to repentance. His goodness and His grace and His mercy will draw you to repentance. But if you refuse, if you want to run headlong towards your iniquity and you refuse to return and to turn and repent, you're probably going to find yourself in hell.
Wow. All right, Benjamin, we're getting to verse 19, and I believe that we're going to spend some time on the two things that are mentioned here. And ladies and gentlemen, please, please take to heart what we're about to share. Now, I'm going to read both of them, and then we're going to talk about it. Verse 19, a false witness who speaks lies, and then it says, and one who sows discord among the brethren. Benjamin, at the very beginning of this list, we had the proud look, a lying tongue, and now again, we have a false witness who speaks lies. So we're talking about a talebearer. This is a gossip.
This is a gossip who's spreading lies, and the one who's sowing discord, maybe they're not lies, but they're putting a spin on it to bring an offense. They're stirring up trouble. They're trying to put people at odds one with another. They want to bring division into the camp.
All right. Now, ladies and gentlemen, perhaps you've had people gossip about you. There's a good chance you probably have, and there's a good chance maybe you took part, and maybe you didn't know how serious it was, but here we see it in the list of abominations. And Benjamin, let's talk about how damaging gossip and slander can actually be to another Christian, to a person with good intentions, to an individual who was innocent but was accused wrongly, to a ministry. Let's talk about that. For example, when Brother Wilkerson received his vision, the church slandered him and said things about him. He made it up. It was a false vision. It was out of his own mind. He's a false prophet. They beat him up pretty bad.
Yeah, David experienced firsthand the gossip war that he prophesied because it rose up in his face as soon as he released the prophecy.
The persecution. So let's visit, for example, we read in 2 Chronicles 36 that God sends the messengers in the morning. The messenger shows up to warn the people. But what did the people do to the messenger?
Universally, they rejected, they persecuted, and in many cases, they murder the messenger.
He's mistreated.
To the point of being murdered, stoned, cut in half, crucified, tortured, beaten, run out of town. Today, they do it verbally. They slander you relentlessly with every accusation under the sun, be it false, fabricated, doesn't matter.
Okay, to the person listening and they say, but you guys don't understand, the information I was sharing was true. That's why I shared it, because it's true. So I had to warn the others.
Right, and oftentimes what we assume is true is nothing more than a twisted version of the facts or a misunderstanding.
Well, that means that there are more, usually more facts than what we see on the surface. And it usually also means that if someone thinks they have all the facts on an event that happened or on what a person did, if they spread their assumptions based as fact without giving the other person a chance to explain or going to the source first or finding out if it's true, and they just start spreading it, then usually we have the result that we're living with right now throughout the church. A lot of people spread information and they never go to the source. They don't find out if it's true. They don't find out if that's factual, etc. At the beginning of this program, I was talking about protocol. And I want to make sure that the listeners understand that it's very important for us to have a code of conduct as Christians. We want the truth. We want the light. We don't want deception.
And you better well want the truth, because you're going to give an account and you're going to have to stand before the King of Kings, who calls himself the truth and is looking for nothing but the truth. And the word of God is very clear, Nathan. If you're going to come forward and make a statement that such and such is true or such and such is false, or that this happened or it didn't happen, then you better have confirmation that you know that to be in fact the case. And the word of God is very clear. You cannot confirm or receive a report unless it is confirmed by two or more witnesses. You're not allowed to receive a prophecy or a word or a story. You're not allowed to believe that, receive it as true, until there are two or more witnesses. And by witnesses, it means people that were actually there, not hearsay, not, well, I have a friend who has a friend who read it on the internet. That's two or more readers. No, witnesses. Hearsay is not acceptable. Now, folks, you could just disregard God's word, his commandments, and his law, and you could ignore his judgment until the reality of it manifests in your life. But I want to explain one thing. If you've borne false witness against your brother, and you had an intention to create a certain result, you wanted to ruin his ministry, or you wanted to destroy his good name, the word of God in Deuteronomy chapter 19 says, once the judge determines that you have brought the false witness, your penalty is the very damage you intended to do to the person you brought the false witness against. So if your intent was to ruin their reputation, your reputation will be ruined. If your intent was to destroy them, you will be destroyed. If your intent was to defraud them, you will suffer the fraud. The judgment for this crime fits the punishment. Think about it. If you go into a court and you testify falsely, somebody killed someone or somebody committed some criminal act, and they would have gone to jail for 3 years or for life, or they would have faced the penalty of capital punishment, and then it comes out that you lied, or even if you didn't know you were lying, if you just assumed, well, I heard someone say he did it, and then you stand up and you testify as a witness, oh, I'm certain he did it, and then the judge determines that you lied, your testimony was false, and an innocent man was convicted, don't you think it would be fair for you to suffer the same penalty that your false report imposed on another?
At that point, that person would be crying for mercy. I didn't mean to.
But they've already done the damage, and the other man already served the time.
Benjamin, what we're talking about right here is a very, very powerful law. It's sowing and reaping is a powerful law. It's a principle as strong as Newton's law of gravity.
Well, it's sowing and reaping. And here's the thing, Nathan. This slander, and I've experienced a truckload of it in my life, and I know you have as well. This slander has been going on in the body of Christ, and it's been getting worse and worse to the point that it's out of control. And recently, I've been talking to the Lord about it, and I know the Lord has had it. He's done with this. The day of the slanderer is over, and the judgment is going to come quickly upon people that are walking in this abomination. And anybody that's touching this thing, this is a contagious disease. not only can you be defiled by slandering, and if you bring a slanderous report, you are defiling yourself, as we read in the scriptures. You are also defiling the people that are hearing you. And if you are listening to slander, you are being defiled by what you are hearing. And this is why it's turned into an epidemic. It's like a contagious disease. It's like a spiritual form of AIDS or of bird flu. And the Lord is finished with this slander sin within his people. And he's going to move in swift judgment on this very, very quickly. You know, our words are powerful. God created the entire universe through the words that he spoke. And he gave us the power to create life or death through our words. And when we speak that which is false with an agenda to damage or harm our brothers, we're speaking death. And death that we have spoken, we're speaking into our own lives as well. You know, the people that are, they're in like a full-time ministry of doing slander. You know, that's their calling. They're serving their father, the devil. They really don't belong to the Lord. They're the tares that are among us, if you want the truth. The people that are completely corrupted within by a spirit of hatred and envy and jealousy and wrath and bitterness, and this evil just reeks out of them everywhere they go, they are bringing nothing but death and destruction in their wake. And they are the antithesis of a born-again Christian. In the scriptures, we are told in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15, 16, he that called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, I am holy. God is talking about, as a Christian, all of our conversation is to be holy, Nathan. We're not supposed to be speaking abominations. We're not supposed to be bearing false witness. We are supposed to be holy in all the manner of our conversation. Even our attitude, when we're speaking the truth, we're supposed to speak the truth in love.
Now, it looks like this program has so much content, it's going to take two parts. And it looks like this is the end of part one. So please go to the link that you have in your email or on the website that you received with this and click on part two to hear the continuation of this.